Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
The Bible says, live worthy of the calling that you have received. And Jesus said, blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you shall be satisfied. Daniel lived continually before the living God, even though it would have done him better from a human perspective to have served the same God as the king, to be a man pleaser rather than to be a God pleaser.
If you call yourself a Christian, then be ready to live a life that is distinguishably different from that of your peers and co-workers. They live to serve man and self, but we as believers live to serve our God. Daniel didn't just understand that, he lived it in the midst of great opposition and persecution. With part two of our commentary on Daniel chapter 6, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
What a testimony that he has an excellent spirit. His enemies, that he is faultless. So they realize if we're going to do anything, we're going to find it concerning his God. Then these men said, we shall find no charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So the governors and the satraps thronged before the king and said thus, King Darius, live forever. The satraps and the governors all came before the king and they flattered him. Oh, King Darius, live forever. You're such a great king. We got an idea. Let's make it so that nobody else can pray to anybody else but you. I mean, you can meet everybody's needs. So no one in the world for 30 days can pray to anybody else but you, Darius, because you're such a great guy. I heard Charles Swindoll say one time that if people flatter me too much, I start to watch my back. And I think that's true to a degree. When someone's just talking to you about what a great person you are, how wonderful you are, what a great, just awesome person you are, they want something from you. They realize the way to get. I mean, that's why when you walk on a car lot, hey, how are you doing? You look good today. You know you're already in trouble, all right? You got a guy that's going to flatter you so that you feel bad about not buying a car from them or whatever it is. And salesmen realize this. And salesmen, if you don't realize that, I'll give you that lesson for free, all right? There's no extra charge for you realizing that when you're flattering somebody, they're going to generally want to do what you want them to do. And so they flatter the king, and the king says, that's a good idea. I am a pretty good guy. This wasn't my idea. It was their idea. They're the ones blowing my horn. They're the ones that said that they wanted to come up with this decree, so I'm going to sign it. So he signs the decree that nobody can ask any god anything except him. And you got to understand, the Babylonians believe that their leaders were gods. They believe that they were God. And so this was just an illogical step for them. Can't pray to any other god for 30 days. Can only pray to you, King Darius. Why, yes, I like that. That's a good idea. And so he passes the decree. And the decree said that if anybody prayed to anybody else, then they'd be thrown into a lion's den. So we pick it up in verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room with his windows open towards heaven, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his early days. That's interesting. In other words, I've heard people say before that what Daniel did is Daniel said, you can't tell me I can't pray to God. And he went up and he opened up his windows and he prayed because he knew people had said it. It'd be like us today if we haven't shared our faith with anybody for 5 months and then all of a sudden there's a law passed in the United States that you can't share your faith with anybody. All of a sudden you're out there telling everybody about Jesus. Nobody tell me I can't tell people about Jesus. Don't you tell me. But it wasn't your custom. You just got uppity because somebody told you you couldn't do it. That's not what Daniel did. Daniel didn't get uppity because somebody said he couldn't pray. Daniel made a priority of prayer already. And there's two things he included in his prayer, it says here. Number one, it was thanksgiving three times a day. And number two, found in verse 11, supplication. Now, supplication is asking God for things. Thanksgiving, obviously, is thanking God. So what Daniel did is he made a priority three times every day. I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to thank God, and I'm going to ask him for things today. In the middle of the day, I'm going to thank him again, and I'm going to ask him for more things in the middle of the day. And then at the end of the day, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to thank him for what he's done in my life, and I'm going to ask him for more stuff. That's what he did. He asked him for strength to face the things that he was going through. He gave supplications for those things that he was dealing with as a governor. Now, this is a very busy man. And you might say, you know, I'm too busy to pray. I just don't have time to pray. But you do. And we don't know how long Daniel prayed. Doesn't say that he prayed for an hour every time. Simply says he prayed. Now, I used to try to pray for an hour. It was very difficult for me. I'm kind of a guy that likes to get things done, move on, get things finished and wrapped up. And I learned to pray until I was done. I learned there was so much more power to that. Because I wasn't sitting around going, okay, what am I going to pray for now? Pray for everything that I could possibly think. It took me like 3 minutes. And what am I going to do now? What am I going to pray for now? I learned just to pray until I was done. But Daniel prioritized prayer. And could it be, folks, that we are now getting an idea of why Daniel had an excellent spirit and why there was no fault found in Daniel? Because from his early days, he had prioritized prayer in his life. See, and I don't really believe that Daniel had, you know, we know that Daniel read the book of Jeremiah. We know that Daniel fasted for 21 days. At one point, we know that he was a man of the Spirit, and the things of the Spirit put to death the things in his flesh, so that in the midst of the tests of life, he could overcome those things. See, you and I sow to the Spirit when we read our Bible. If you said, you know what, I'm just going to read my Bible once a day or twice a day. I'm going to get up in the morning, read the New Testament. I'm going to go to bed at night. Before I go to bed, I'm going to read the Old Testament. If you said, I'm going to pray twice a day or three times a day, every one of those is a spiritual seed planted. Spiritual seed when you pray. Spiritual seed when you read the Bible. Spiritual seed when you talk to your husband and wife about the things you're reading. Spiritual seeds when you fellowship with other Christians. Spiritual seeds when you go to church. Spiritual seeds when you reach out and help someone that's in need. Spiritual seeds when you go and you visit somebody that's in the hospital and you talk with them and pray with them about the Lord. Spiritual seeds that you're planting daily in your life, so that you're doing that on a daily basis. And then there's a crop. There's not one poor, lonely, gone-to-church spiritual seed that is overcome by all the fleshly seeds that are around it. It's a crop. And the thing about the spiritual seeds is that they're stronger than the physical seeds. See, the seeds of the flesh are weak, although there are many and they gang up in our lives. But when we sow seeds to the Spirit on a consistent basis and we've got a crop we're growing from, that's where the passage in Romans 8 becomes true, that by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the flesh. I'll give it to you another way. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you want, whatever you desire, and it'll be done for you. Why? Because your desires have changed. See, when we sow to the Spirit and the Spirit starts to put to death the things of the flesh, we might very well be tempted by something, but we find ourselves saying, you know what? I don't want that. It's not, man, I'm tempted by that and I'm not going to do it. I want to, but I'm not going to do it. And then you either end up doing it or you don't. But if it's that, you say, you know what? I'm tempted, but I don't want it. That's not the kind of man that I am. That's not what I want in my life. And I'm not going to do it. You find there's a radical difference in the way that you can stand. And when you're tempted to embezzle something, you say, you know what? That's not me. I'm going to trust in my God. And when you're tempted to be a man pleaser, you say, I'm not a man pleaser. And I'm not going to do what men want. I'm going to do what God wants. All of a sudden, because of the spiritual seeds in your life, you are transformed and you are someone who is different. You're not someone who's conformed to the world, who are men pleasers, who seek their own pleasures, who seek their own lives, who don't care about other people that are around them. That's the culture we live in. That's the heart of the Tucsonian. That's the heart of the culture of the people in the United States. But we become someone who's radically different by the power of God that's inside of us. And so Daniel opens up the door and they find him. They knew he was going to be praying because it's what he did. They find him and they go to the king and they say, King Darius, you gave this decree and Daniel broke it. Darius tries because he's his friend. See, Darius is Daniel's friend, and Darius tries to rescue Daniel from the lion's den. It says until the sun goes down, Darius tried to keep him out of the lion's den, but because they believed that their kings were gods, once they gave a decree, they couldn't break it. See, when God says something, then God doesn't change his mind. That's why when you guys say, hey, God told me, you know what you do when you do that? You say, nobody else can give me an opinion because God told me. I have a friend of mine who's a pastor, and he determined he wanted to go to a certain town, and there was reasons why he shouldn't go to that town. And as I shared with him the reasons why I believe that he should not go to that town, I told him, go anywhere you want to, anywhere in the world, but don't go to that town. I shared with him why I didn't believe he should go back to that town. And he said to me, finally, God told me to go. And out of frustration, I said, well, then you better go. Because if God told you to go, and I'm telling you you shouldn't go, you don't listen to me, you listen to God. Now, a little while later on, it became evident that God didn't tell him to go. But see, when you pull the God card, pull it rarely. When you pull that God card and say, God told me, you take out all counsel. Now you're not going to be counseled by anyone. Because why? How am I going to give you counsel against God? If you say God told me, how am I going to tell you something that's against the Lord? If you believe God told you, then say God, you believe God told you. But that's a whole nother, I'm off on a rabbit trail, I don't have time. That's a whole nother issue, we'll cover it on a whole nother time. But Darius tries to rescue him, and Darius finds him that he's got to throw Daniel in prison, in the lion's den. And so Darius, verse 16, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Now, a couple of things about this. Number one, it's easy to have faith for somebody else who's going in the lion's den. Darius says to him, your God, who you serve continually, he'll deliver you. It's like when you're talking to somebody and they're having problems in their marriage, and you say to the husband, hey, you go and you tell your wife this. That's an easy thing to do when you're not going and telling her. You know, you're the one going in the lion's den, not me. You go tell her that. That's what I'd do, and you really wouldn't do it at all, right? Well, that's Darius. But secondly, I want you to notice, we've seen that Darius is first, there was an excellent spirit in Daniel. His friends could find no fault in him. But now Darius's friend has another testimony for Daniel. What's his testimony? The God you serve continually. We learned something else about Daniel. Not only that it was Daniel's habit to pray three times a day since his early days, but we also learned that he serves God continually. Now, I think this is significant. And I'll tell you why I think it's significant. Because Daniel is serving God continually, even though the king, who is his employer, is serving other gods. If Daniel were a man pleaser, it would be very easy for him to go, you know what, king, whatever God you serve, that's whom I serve. If Daniel saw that his life was affected by his boss or by his king, then he would be like his king, flattering him, serving the gods that he did, but he didn't do that. Darius knew that Daniel served a different God, and he served him continually before him. See, I think it's another way in which we sow spiritual seeds when we're not like this world. How I tire of people saying, I want people in the world to know that we're no different than them. You are different, or you ought to be. And if you're not, it's a tragedy. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. The Bible says, live worthy of the calling that you have received. And Jesus said, blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you shall be satisfied. Daniel lived continually before the living God, even though it would have done him better from a human perspective to have served the same God as the king, to be a man pleaser rather than to be a God pleaser. So he throws him in the lion's den. The seal is closed. And we don't follow Daniel into the lion's den. We follow Darius back to his home. Isn't that interesting? The Bible doesn't tell us what the night was like for Daniel in the lion's den. We'd like to know that, wouldn't we? Daniel, how was it? We could interview. We had Darius and Daniel in front of us. What's the first question you ask? What did the lions do when you were inside the lion's den? Did they roar? Did they walk around you? Did they lick you? Did you play with them? Did you cuddle up and sleep with them? What'd you do? That's what we would want to know, right? But God doesn't follow Daniel in the lion's den. He follows Darius home. Listen to what it says, verse 18. Now the king went to his palace, spent the night fasting. No musicians were brought before him, and his sleep went from him. See, Darius doesn't serve and follow the living God at all. His friend is in the lion's den. You ever have someone close to you going through the lion's den? You find that sleep leaves you like it left Darius. First of all, he's fasting. He didn't want to eat. He's not interested in that because his friend is in the lion's den. Secondly, no musicians. That means he didn't watch TV that night. It was the ancient way of watching television. He brought musicians before and played. He didn't want any entertainment that night, and his sleep left him. He laid there in bed, and he couldn't sleep because somebody that he loved was going through it. Now, you've been there, haven't you? Someone close to you has gone through a difficulty and you don't want to eat and you're not really interested in going to a movie. You're certainly not interested in sleep. You just lay there and wait for the sun to come up. But I'm so glad as a Christian that during those days in my life that I can call out upon God. I'm so glad that my every thought that I have is to Him. You know what I'm talking about. Whereas I'm laying there and thinking about my daughter or my son or whatever it is, Lord, just take care of them and watch over them, help them in this and give them wisdom. And I'm praying as I'm going through that. Darius had none of that. All he could do is lay there and wait for the sun to come up. What a horrible time that night must have been. Verse 19, the king arose very early in the morning, first dawn of light. Is that light? I'm out of here. And he went in haste to the lion's den. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice. He was actually crying, a lamenting voice. Daniel! He was anxious. He thought he would come and he would find his friend dead. He thought he would come and look at see bones scattered all around the lion's den. Daniel's blood splattered upon the walls. Daniel! Lamenting voice, the king spoke, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth. Now, the first thing that I note is they're having a conversation while Daniel is still in the lion's den. I would say, get me out of here, and then we'll talk. I'm going to hang out as long as you want. Daniel says the angel was sent to him, and my opinion is that this angel is Jesus. Jesus said, Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. And God never abandons us in the midst of the lion's den. David wrote in Psalms 23, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. God is certainly with us in everything that we face. He says, He shut the mouths of the lions so that they did not hurt me because I was found innocent before Him. He says, I have integrity before God, and I also have done no wrong before you. See, Daniel can say two things confidently. Number one, things are right between me and God, and I'm innocent before Him. You can say that if you make things right with Him today. Number two, He treated people fairly. And so he could have confidence. I haven't done anything wrong to you, King. And so God rescued me. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him in verse 23 and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no injury whatsoever was found on him because he believed in God. See, just like Abraham that believed that God was able to do what he said he could perform, just like Romans that says that you and I, we believe in God and therefore we are saved because we believe, Daniel believed God. Now, Daniel didn't seek revenge. If he did, we aren't told about it. But the king, he's a Persian king. And so he brought these men in that were enemies of Daniel, and he threw them in the lion's den, their children and their wives. Before they hit the bottom, they were completely consumed by the animals that were there. And then King Darius gives a decree. Now, you might think at this point, because of Daniel's excellent spirit, because Daniel continually served God, you might think at this point that the decree would be, I want you guys to realize that Daniel is made second in all of Babylon, in all of the region that I am the king over, and he would lift up and exalt Daniel for what he's done. But King Darius doesn't do that. King Darius ends this chapter with a decree that points to the living God. See, folks, when you sow to the Spirit, when you put to death the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit of God, people around you, they aren't impressed with you. They're impressed with God. When people see that there's an excellent spirit in my life because I've sown to the Spirit, they look at me and go, must be God. It's not Him. They look at you and they are drawn into the presence of the living God when we have an excellent spirit, when we've put to death things of the flesh and we've become something that is different than this world knows. We become an enigma to the world. We become a puzzlement to them, a stumbling block even, because they see that we truly have been transformed instead of being conformed to this world. Look at the decree that Darius puts out. And we pick it up in verse 25. Then King Darius, to all people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure till the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. He says, this is the God who is true. Now, I don't know that Darius ever became a Christian, but Darius saw the living God through the life of his servant. And we have been called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We have been called to be the salt and light in the midst of a dark and decaying world. And if we will sow seeds to the Spirit, if we'll work on our character and say, I am going to live a life that is worthy of the call, it ain't going to just happen. You know, you've heard someone say before, any dead fish can float downstream. Just by doing nothing, you can float the way of this world. You can feed your flesh and become like the world and become molded to this world, conformed to the image of this world so easily. But when you say, I'm going to prioritize prayer, I'm going to prioritize fellowship in my marriage, I'm going to make church a priority, I'm going to get involved in some kind of ministry, I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to empower me to do something, to make a difference, I'm going to surround myself with other Christians who love the Lord and are sold out and committed to Him, I'm going to sow seeds in my life through prayer and seeking God and through reading His Word, all of a sudden there's a crop in your life that overcomes the things of the flesh. And where previously you found it impossible to overcome those things, those strongholds, now you are able to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. To overcome the strongholds in your life because you become a person that is different. Daniel was someone different than the Babylonian culture that he lived in. May we be something different than this American Tucsonian culture that we live in, that produces men and women by being conformed to this world and their worldview. But may we be transformed, be the men and women God wants us to be, that we would rise above and point people to Jesus Christ. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we are so thankful again for the opportunity that we have to be able to study your word. And we're thankful that our hearts have been stirred up and encouraged by Daniel. And we see that he was someone who was different in the culture that he lived in. And we want to be different than what this world produces. Lord, we do believe that we live in a time that is radically different. That we live in a time when men are affected by the world around them, entertainment and movies and cable and the internet. But we don't want to be conformed by these things. We don't want to be the typical man in Tucson. We want to be those that are changed and transformed by our minds being set upon you, by sowing to the Spirit, that we could mortify the deeds of the flesh. Thank you for giving us these truths in your scriptures. May we live by them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, I do believe there are those of you here that would like to surrender your life to Jesus. The things that I talked about today don't work if you've never invited Christ into your life and you've never turned from your sin. If you don't turn from your sin, you don't invite Him in, your spirit's dead. Then you try to sow to something that's dead. You can't sow to something that's dead in your life. You have to have your spirit quickened to life by the very power of God. You do that by saying, God, forgive me. See, the enemy would love to tell you that you've committed a sin that could never be forgiven. You've committed some awful things that God doesn't want to have anything to do with you, but that's a lie from the very pit of hell. Jesus stretched out his arms and they drove the nails through his hands and the blood flowed from that cross so that every sin could be forgiven. The other lie is that you haven't done things bad enough. And that's not true either. Every sin will damn you for all eternity away from God. And that's why Jesus took the cross saying, if there's any other way, then take this cup from me. But he went to the cross anyway. And he took the cross. So if you need Christ today in your life, then surrender your life to him. For all of us here, may we sow seeds to the Spirit. May we become men and women that are not formed by this world, but are transformed by the living God.
We hope you've been blessed by Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Tucson. It is our prayer that our Bible teachings would help you to understand and apply God's powerful word to your life every day. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East or Southwest Tucson. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study and drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.